We continue our learning of Mishmas Davi B'Menachem Rish and Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Shabbos Perek Vav, Mishnah Beis. Lo Yetzei Ho'ish Basandal Hamasumar. We continue our discussion about what a person is permitted to wear or not wear on Shabbos and the potential Malach of Hotzah. Says the Mishnah, a man is not permitted to go out with a sandal Hamasumar. Sandal Hamasumar is this nailed sandal, and the Gemara brings a story on Daf Samach Amar Aleph that this was a gzeira. We mentioned this as the sixth category of what was prohibited midrabanan to wear on Shabbos, not because there's a concern at all that you're going to take it off or that you're going to show someone, but this is its own category, because what happened was there's a time that Dar Gemara tells the story of the time of persecution, and there were Jews who were hiding in a cave, and they heard someone walking, they thought it was the enemy, they heard someone outside. In the end, it was not the enemy, but they started pushing each other. They had these sandals that they were wearing and started, according to Rashi at least, they started hitting each other, and they ended up killing, unfortunately, and harming each other a lot because of these sandals, because this story took place on Shabbos. So the gezeira became not to wear a sandal hamasumar on Shabbos. Now, if this is dangerous, maybe we should not allow this at all. So some explain, because it's not just the fact that this was a danger, but it would bring sadness to people on Shabbos. Shabbos and Yontif, which are days that are supposed to be Oneg or Simcha, and people are gathering together. So therefore, the sandal hamasumar is prohibited to be worn on Shabbos. There is Yushalmi has another reason for this. Yushalmi thinks that the prohibition of wearing the sandal hamasumar was because of pregnant women. Sometimes pregnant women would miscarry because of the sound. It was very loud. It was maybe the way they looked, the noise that would be made when people would wear them and step with them. So that's why it was something that was prohibited. And this is not related to this story at all. And why was it prohibited on Shabbos? So the answer is, well, if you're prohibited on Shabbos, so essentially people are not going to wear it at all, because people didn't normally have more than one pair of shoes. There is a discussion in general about wearing shoes on Shabbos, whether there's a halacha of wearing shoes on Shabbos, whether there's a special din of beged Shabbos. We know we're supposed to dress nicer for Shabbos, have clothing for Shabbos. Whether that applies to shoes is a machlokas. Mishnah continues, v'lo b'yachad bizman shein barag lo maka. Nor is an individual allowed to go out wearing a regular sandal on one foot. This has nothing to do with a sandal hamasumar, just a regular sandal. Sure, this person should not go out in public with one sandal only. Why? Either because someone's going to think that, oh, he must be carrying the other, and that's an issue of marasayin, or maybe we're afraid people are going to make fun of him. He's walking with one sandal, and he'll take the one he's wearing and take that off and start to carry it. But that's, of course, as Mishnah qualifies, bizman shein barag lo maka, where there's no wound on his foot. Person has a wound on his foot. It's obvious to everybody that the reason he's only wearing one sandal is because the other, his foot is swollen. Let's say he the shoe doesn't fit on the other foot. So if there's a wound on the foot, you can go out in a Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos with one shoe. V'lo b'tfilin, says the Mishnah. We don't go out in Rishus HaRabim with tfilin. Now, why not? So there is a dispute whether or not Shabbos is man tfilin or Shabbos loves man tfilin. Do we assume that Shabbos is one of the days that we can wear tefillin, the mitzvah applies, or that Shabbos is lazman tefillin? So we usually assume Shabbos is lazman tefillin, but even so, if Shabbos is lazman tefillin, so it's obvious why you can't go out with them, because they're not considered that's not clothing, it's not even an ornament, you're not supposed to be wearing them on Shabbos. If Shabbos is man tefillin, so then what's the issue? I'm wearing it. It's clothing. Shabbos is a time that potentially one could wear tefillin, and it wouldn't be considered carrying. The Mishnah at the end of it, the beginning of the 10th Perek of Aaron, speaks about what happens if you find tefillin on Shabbos and how you're supposed to wear them. You can wear two at a time in a certain way, and this way they don't get ruined. You can wear them into the closest Rosh HaYachid, or into the city. So obviously people, there is this concept of wearing tefillin, and it's considered clothing. So what's the problem? So the issue is that we're afraid that a person is not allowed to wear tefillin when he has to relieve himself. So if that's the case, he may take them off in Rosh Hashanah, he may end up carrying them. And that's why the Chachamim, even if your whole Shabbos is Zman tefillin, the Chachamim came along and said not to wear tefillin, because tefillin, if we're in Rosh Hashanah, we're afraid you may end up carrying them when you have to remove them for to relieve oneself. You're also not allowed to wear an amulet if it's not made by a mumcha. Now, why would, what is a mumcha is an expert? What does that mean? So an amulet, people would have names of Hashem and certain tefillos that are written, certain letters, maybe herbs that they're were there for curing purposes. And whether this is effective or not, we assume that a person, it certainly has a placebo effect, that a person's wearing it. So they're, for refuah purposes, this is considered an ornament. This is considered wearing jewelry. And this should be allowed, but the Mishnah says, not if it's not by a mumcha. What does it mean? So the Bar Tanur says, Sheripa Shlosha B'nei Adam. You need to establish the Chazaka, where the one who made this amulet, if there have been three times where he has been successful, so then it can be worn on Shabbos. Not only that, if he's been successful with one amulet and he now made a new one, we can trust that this also is effective and you can wear that on Shabbos. But if has yet to be proven that it's effective, hasn't had the chazaka of three times, then you're not allowed to wear it. We're afraid because he's not an expert, it lacks reliability. The person may take it off and say, this is not working, or this is not going to work. I can't assume it's going to work. I don't trust that it will be effective. And he may end up carrying it in the Rosh Hashanah. V'lo b'shiryon, can't go out in Rosh Hashanah with a coat of mail. This was worn in battle, although it's clothing, it's dress, it's some type of garment, but people only wear that when they go off to battle, and maybe people will think that maybe that's what he's doing on Shabbos, and that would be an issue of Marasayin. There's another issue as well, because besides that, people will think he's going out to battle doing something wrong, but this would be considered, we remind ourselves that Marasayin is something that applies even what we call B'chadrei Chadorim. Kol makom she'asru chacham b'nei Marasayin afilu B'chadrei Chadorim can't be done even in the innermost chambers. Marasayin is a problem, so therefore a person can't wear this, if this were the case, that Shiryon wearing this coat of mail is this protective armor is something that person is not allowed to wear from Marasayin, then it would apply even in the privacy of one's own home. Velo b'kasta. Kasta is a helmet. Also is attire that's worn for battle, not to be worn on Shabbos. Lo v'magafayim are boots, literally. These are guards for the protecting the legs during battle. Once again, only worn during battle, shouldn't be worn on Shabbos. Probably part of the same issue of Marasayin. People will think that he's engaging in battle. But says the Mishnah Yatzah, but if he went out with any of these items in this Mishnah, Eino Chayv Chatas, is not Chayv Chatas, because these are really, it's really clothing. And people wear them on the weekdays. So they wouldn't be considered a masa. You can't say that he's actually carrying. He's wearing something. But the Chachamim, for a variety of reasons, prohibited these items. And then we may take them off, or Marasayin, whatever the issue is. So therefore, he's not going to be Chayav Chatas if he wears them. Perek Vav Mishnah Gimel. Loteitze Isha B'macha Tanakuva. So now the Mishnah is going to list those things which you're not permitted to wear, and if you wear them, Yechayev Chatas, it's an issue to Oraisa. So we spoke about a needle that did not have a hole, that did not have an eye in it. That was the previous Mishnais. But now it's Machat HaNakuva. This is what a tailor normally wears. Now, a tailor will, and we mentioned this earlier in the first parak, a tailor usually carries a needle in his garment. He puts it in the garment, and that's the way he wears it. He'd be chayef for carrying like that. That's the way he's accustomed to carry it. A regular person should not be chayef for that. But the assumption here is that a woman who sews as well would also have the status of a tailor of a chayot, and that's why wearing it in our clothing as well, a needle with an eye in it, would be considered an iser de oraisa of carrying. That would mean if someone doesn't normally sew, let's say a man who doesn't normally sew, would not be chayav of a carbon chatas unless he's carrying the needle in his hand. If he wears it in his clothing, that's not the normal way that he does so because he doesn't normally sew. So then he would not be chayav because that would be kalachar yad, carrying it in an unconventional way, and therefore he would be pater, but still asur midrabanan. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo b'tabas sheyesh olechos." I'm speaking about a woman once again. Can't go out with a tabas, a ring that does not have a sign. Literally, it's not a signet ring. And this Mishnah, once again, is teaching us it's an Isser Da'oraisa, because this is not an adornment. This is not an ornament for her. It has a chosam. It's a signet ring. So since it's not a garment, then it's not an adornment. So it's a masa, and therefore it's not allowed. Now, here we're speaking about a woman wearing a man's ring. So why, if a woman is wearing, we said that only, usually only the men were using a tabas that has a chosam. So why would I say that a woman wearing that, that would be considered an Isser D'oraisa of carrying, but it's unconventional, meaning she's wearing a man's ring. So why, and that's not normal. So what's the issue? So the Gemara on Daf Samach Beis explains that a man would give his ring to his wife and to put it somewhere. And in order to, instead of carrying it in her hand, she'd slide it onto her finger. And therefore, this what is normal, is conventional to some extent for a woman, and therefore would be an Isser D'oraisa for her to wear this tabas that has a chosam on it. Same thing would be true if a man, by the way, wears the ring that does not have a chosam. That's uncommon. But nonetheless, he'd be chai for that, because that's not an ornament he normally wears, a regular ring, at least in those days, that does not, unless it was a signet ring. A non-signet ring was not normal for a man to wear, so therefore for him to put it on would be a masa. On the other hand, we would say, hold on, why would that be a masa? It's unconventional. He doesn't normally, so why would I call that this is not something that he usually does during the week, so maybe it should be knocked down to a din de rabbanan too. So we say no, because since a woman would give, if he would give her ring to a man, he'd slide it on his hand. So let's say if it had to be fixed, he would put it on his finger, and therefore we would say that it would be considered conventional carrying. On the other hand, a ring he doesn't normally wear, which would make it an Isser D'oraisa. Mishnah continues, velo bikulyar. Kulyar is, translated is, a head ring. That a woman, this is a ring that would be normally worn on a head, maybe it's a brooch that a woman would use to fasten a piece of clothing, and most women don't wear this, and therefore it's a masa, and therefore it's not, it would be an Isser D'oraisa. Velo b'koveles. Koveles is if a vial made of silver or gold that has spices inside. Rashi thinks it's bulls and that was inside. Women would wear that in order to, so they would smell good. Velobit sloches shel pulyato, nor could a woman wear around her neck or whatever on body a flask that has bulls or more musk. Also not allowed. Avim yatsasa, if she went into Rosh Hashanah with any of these items in the Mishnah, as we said, chayev eschatos, divi Rabbi Meir, she's chayev eschatos, these all can be in the category of amasa, and it's hotza, amida oraisa. However, the chachamim disagree on one thing. Vachachamim potrin, bikoveles, uvitzlochis, shel pulyaton. They say the case of the spice bundle or the perfume flask that we mentioned, they claim these are adornments. She wouldn't be chayev achatas. It's in usher derabanan to go, because we're afraid she may show them to people. And we follow the chachamim in this regard. But all the others, they agree, would be a chayev achatas.